should have brought up that novel in the first place. Should have kept it under wraps, Momo.
Yeah, kind of makes it real if you bring it up.
You're right. Now there's pressure.
Yeah, now we're going to ask you about it all the time.
Can he,
how's
can
the
he
novel
finish?
Coming?
Can he finish? Will he do
what
it?
What chapter
will he be
are you
able
on?
To do it?
Are you gonna,
I am.
Get
I am.
An agent?
Well, they're Dan Brown chapters, so they're very short.
Good.
That's what I like about Dan Brown. You know, he's the guy that does Da Vinci Code and all that stuff. The chapters are like 2 pages long. So you always feel like you're making progress. You know what I'm saying? And they always suck you into
it.
the next chapter. So
yeah, it's like when you binge watch a 30-minute TV show.
Absolutely.
They just roll.
Nice little arc. Make sure that he has something to go over.
Yeah.
Get through. And then he gets over it. And it's all
so
better.
I want to start out with this. So and we're going to get to everything today. I promise you. We're going to get to the Dodgers right at the top. We're going to get to the Rams. We're going to get to the Trojans. We've got Lakers stuff. This morning, I'm out driving. I'm doing my normal Starbucks run every day.
Yep.
Get my reduced fat turkey bacon and cheddar sandwich. The only thing I get at Starbucks now. And somebody is late turning left. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're in the left-hand turn lane.
I know
lane,
exactly.
And they start hanging out there, and the arrow shows up, and they don't go right away. And somebody just lays on their horn. And I'm like, that is so not L.A. We do
was
not.
Was that your sound effect, by the way, of the horn? Or is that
yes, that was my sound effect of the horn. What do you think? It's my sound effect. And I'm like, this is L.A. I mean, I used to live in New York, right? And in New York, everybody used their horn. It's like, in L.A., we don't use our horns. We are polite people. If the old guy doesn't see the arrow right away, maybe you give him a toot. Maybe just that. But you don't lay on your horn. I mean, are you somebody that uses their horn in L.A., Momo?
The only time I ever use it is if it's something dangerous. Like somebody doesn't see me and I'm in their blind spot.
Yeah, I get that.
I'll
get
honk then. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody once told me that it's better to actually, if somebody's in your crossing over, like you're in their blind spot and they're about to hit you, it's actually better to turn on your blinker or something so that they might see it rather than
they
hear it.
They might see that.
I don't know. Somebody told me. Yeah, sounds safer. I've used my horn a couple of times, okay? I do use my horn when I go through tunnels. I'm like that girl.
Just because it's fun?
You go through the tunnel and you go doot, 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 and then somebody behind you is supposed to go beep, beep, and they're supposed to answer you.
I didn't know that
when you were a kid?
I don't know this scam. So, is that what you do?
It's like a thing. Yeah, it's a thing. But I think I might be the only one who knows it. So, like, there's people who know it. Tweet me if you know that the horn thing. I go, you know, 3 times and you answer me. Because I did it, and everybody was just like, why is that girl honking? Like, that's weird.
Hey, Bergman, what about you? Do you ever lay on the horn?
I mean, if someone's making that left and it's like
is
about to hit
him. Is that not a good sound effect? Is that not a good horn sound effect?
It's all right.
It's not
radio
bad,
professional.
I thought we were playing that. I didn't realize
radio.
It was you doing that.
Thank
we should pull that.
I know. That's why I said that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, it's not as good as Dan Orlovsky's dog. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. There you go.
See, that's
oh,
it. It's the beep, beep. You do that. You do the beep, beep.
It's the friendly one. Yeah, it's the friendly one. It's like, hey, the arrow's up. You can turn.
Yeah, it's time to go now.
It's not get the hell turning left now.
Yeah, it's beep, beep. Yeah.
I mean, it depends how angry I am in the day itself, though. Like, if I'm really, really angry, I'm laying down on that horn and you're getting it.
See, that is impolite.
It is very impolite, but
I think that's
sometimes
more about you than the driver.
Yes, it is. It is more about me than it is the driver, but I feel better after.
And you're taking it out on somebody.
Yes.
Jorge, do you use your horn? You don't strike. You're a very polite guy. I can't imagine you use your horn
all the time. I use it all the time.
I
can see that.
Greg,
are you late? Are you late and you're using your horn? Like, get out the way?
No. It's just when
you're
when you merge from one freeway to the other and people just want to go to the left, especially when you get onto 110, from the 10 to the 110.
Yeah.
People want to merge all
Don't like it?
No, because everybody's trying
like,
to
I
cut
do
you
that.
Off. No, so I gotta go to the right.
I gotta go to the right.
I'm honking. Move. I gotta go to the right.
Yeah. You should move to New York.
Yeah, I should.
You'd be good in New York City. Everybody lays on their horn at all times.
Greg feels like a honker to me. You do not. Jorge.
No, Jorge's absolutely a honker.
I am. I'm surprised at Jorge.
And then when, wow. you know when you're on the motorcycle,
no, I don't
you
think we know him.
Up.
I think we thought we knew Jorge, but like there's this Niners fan thing, there's the honking thing now.
The honking thing. He's a man of mystery. That's why when we eventually get to the brand new feature called Jorge's Corner, we're gonna learn something about Jorge every single day. All right, so yeah. I want to let people know a couple of things. First of all, you can always tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. Well, he's off today, at Ramona Shelburne. You can also, and this is big, you can email the show. If what you want to respond to takes more than 240 characters, I think it is, you can email us, venicemace@gmail.com. There will be a lie of the day. It is my lie today. And I'll try to make it obvious so that at 3:30 somebody can win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. We will do that. And don't forget, Monday is Million Dollar Mondays here on 710. You got a chance to win Rams tickets, and you'll win a shot at $1 million. Every winner will give us their prediction of the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. And if you nail that, you get $1 million. And we'll do that, by the way, Travis and Sliwa, me and Ireland, and Sedano and Cap. So make sure you're here for Million Dollar Mondays starting this coming Monday. So, Momo, watching the Dodgers last night, we got a five-man rotation all of a sudden. How about that? Tony Gonsolin looked really good.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is one of my really hot takes, okay? You ready?
Okay, good. Baseball, bring it. Bring the hot take.
Baseball's a really long season. Baseball's a really long season. Hot take. 162, okay?
Never even heard this before, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a really hot take, but that's the whole
old takes
point
exposed.
Of the, yeah.
Old takes exposed. That one's going to come back to haunt you, Momo. That
How
one, by the way,
one?
That one might also be aggregated.
Oh, yeah. Aggregate that. Go ahead. Look, it's a long season. Like, Gonsolin was hurt, and then he had enough time to work his way back. Kershaw was hurt. He had enough time to work his way back. Like, we're all worried about their rotation. We're thanking Washington for Max Scherzer. Like, that was the saving grace. But we might be right back where the Dodgers, at the beginning of the year, what were we talking about, Mace?
Starting
Dodgers
pitching
too
depth.
Many pitchers. Oh, they got so many starters. Who do we even pick?
And now we've got Scherzer, Bueller, yeah. Urias, Kershaw, Gonsolin. By the way, isn't it weird Kershaw's the fourth guy in that rotation?
Not weird at all.
No, it's just the way. It's just the it's just the circle of life, isn't it?
It is. It really yeah. is. People are already talking about. I don't know if I'm ready for this conversation. Do you extend Kershaw? Do you give Kershaw a longer deal? I think that conversation can wait, can't it? Would you, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, let's get to it. Yeah, I would extend him. But it kind of depends on what he wants, right? Does he want a lot of money? Does he want years? How flexible can he be? I mean, for me, with Kershaw, he has the ability to be this Kobe Bryant-esque athlete with one franchise, entire career, retire, start as a Dodger, retire as a Dodger, like that. And when they signed him to his big contract, I think it, what was it, something, $205 million at one point.
Yes.
It was a lot.
And his last one, I think, was 2 years, 60.
Yeah. So when they signed him to that contract, they initially said to him, I remember Mark Walter went to him. He said, we just want you to be a Dodger for life. So you just name the number you want. That was the offer. And Kershaw was like, I don't know if I want the legacy of signing a lifetime contract. Like, he had the same option that Mike Trout did, Bryce Harper did, you know, the 13-year deal
yeah,
or whatever that is.
Yeah, those super long deals, yeah.
Yeah. They gave him that option, which is amazing for a pitcher. But that was important to the new ownership group when they took over, was to make sure Kershaw was a Dodger for life. And he didn't want it. And I think it was more the pressure of it. Not the pressure of, do I want to be that guy? But it was like the notoriety of it. He would have had it set up where he could have been a Dodger for life and then, sure, if he wanted to be traded or if it wasn't working out, he could have had a clause in there that said, you know, I can ask for a trade. They literally would have given him anything he wanted. Yeah. And he said, no, let's put a number on it. Let's put years. Let's put a cap. I want to have some flexibility. It was like, so I it's up to him. Does he want to go and play for the Astros or for the Rangers because he's from Texas and he wants to, you know, have his last couple of years in his home state? Maybe. I wouldn't. I mean, I guess the Astros are good, but the Lion cheating Astros. I don't know.
You know, so on that lifetime deal, which is interesting, when I was 27 years old, I was working for the Mighty 690 for Crazy John Lynch. You know, John Lynch, the son, is the general manager, football operations guy for the 49ers, and was a great all-pro, and I think a Hall of Famer now, from the Denver Broncos. His dad was just a crazy business guy who owned tons of radio stations and could occasionally get emotional and out of his mind. Mm. So there I was, 27, let's say, years old. He offered me a 10-year contract.
Wow.
I am like, I am not going to sign a contract that extends me for 10 years. Yeah. That is absolutely insane. From 27 to 37, can you imagine a deal like that?
Totally. I remember, like, it's kind of like getting married. 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, most marriages don't make it four, two even, right? Most marriages end in the first 5 years or something. That 10 years at any job, that's staying power.
And I ended up staying, by the way, 3 more years.
Yeah.
And I was out. Yeah.
You were right.
So I was the right. It was the right thing to not sign a 10-year contract at that age. So one thing I noticed last night, and Bergman, maybe you went away on this. Blake Treinen, who has been so good all year long, he's scuffling a little bit right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he
not
is.
So great.
No, it's what it's happens is when he's not finding the plate, he gets really, really bad. But when he's actually has, when he actually can have the movement and get it across the plate where it's a strike, he's almost unhittable. But when he's wild, he's beyond wild. It's kind of like Joe Kelly was the last couple of years. When he was on, you're like, oh man, my God, this guy has such great movement. And then when he's off, it's really bad.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When Kenley has the same kind of issues, when Kenley is a little off, like he's 6'5", and there's just a whole lot of arms and legs going everywhere.
Yep.
People boo him at the stadium, and they want to quit Kenley and kick him out of L.A., and we're done with him.
It's different.
But when Triton has a little rough patch, it's like barely noticed, no boos, no nothing.
Momo, it's different because there is an L at the end of Kenley Jansen's appearances.
Exactly.
If you lose the game as the closer, you are the – and I don't mean the greatest of all time. You're the GOAT, right? You're the GOAT. Now, Kenley, I can't imagine anybody's booing him. I haven't been to the park in a couple of weeks, but I can't imagine anybody's booing Kenley at this point. He's 12 of his last 12 in save opportunities. And I think this is the year that he can actually – and remember last year, he didn't really contribute during the postseason. Julio Urias stepped into that role and was on the mound when the Dodgers closed out the World Series. I think this is the year that Kenley – contributes in a meaningful way during the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. And what also, Momo, was that when Kenley lost, he lost badly in the playoffs. So people have the memory of the playoffs of Kenley blowing leads, giving up 3-run home runs. Giving
yeah,
up
the, I guess
that,
I,
that's
it's a little,
that's
like,
why it's different.
A little bit. I think it's a Kenley. I think this is something about confirmation bias. Like if you've decided Kenley cannot be the closer anymore, if you just hold that, oh, he's lost his velocity, he's not the same guy. If you have the couple of playoff failures on your mind, then anything he slips up in, any little rough patch, you go right to that bad place.
Yeah, but it's because he loses the game. That's the
difference. I get it.
If you blow the eighth inning, you blow the eighth inning. If you blow the game, you blow the game.
It's also year two for Blake Treinen, whereas it's, what is it, year 7 or 8 for Kenley?
Oh, more than that. I think it's been
in the organization since the beginning, since he was a catcher, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, minor leagues and all that, but sure. But for the most part, he's been the closer.
I'm pretty sure it's like 10 or 11 years.
It's something like that. I don't know the exact timing, but still, it's 10 versus 2.
And I'm not saying,
Kenley? You know. All right. Was that Kenley?
No, it's Kenley. To me, Kenley just gets a lot of flack because you're right. When you blow the save, you blow the save. That's it. But I think it's also that he's been here for such a long time. People have long memories, and they tend to remember the bad stuff and not the good ones. Like, for whatever reason, like, the bad ones stick to him more than they stick to Treinen, because I think the expectation is there.
At the beginning of the year, I made a mythical money bet on Kenley Jansen saving 35 games or more
get
this
there.
Year. Ireland scoffed at me. He told me I was absolutely insane, but I had full faith in Kenley this year. and the velocity was up early in the season. I felt really, really good about that, and he's definitely going to get that 35 saves.
What's he at, 32 right now?
He's at 32, yeah. He's getting to 35, obviously. By the way, congratulations. Just had his fourth kid. His fourth kid, Kenley Jansen, did. He was on paternity leave. He's back now. Last night, I don't have to tell you, Dodger fans, we won and the Giants won. We beat Arizona. They beat San Diego. San Diego has just drifted terribly. We swept them. Now the Giants are on the verge. Please, Padres, beat them once. Just beat them once. But I noticed talking to a texting with the Dodger fan last night who said he's kind of resigned to the fact that we are going to be the wild card team. Kind of resigned to that fact. And I'm curious how many people believe that. Can we catch the Giants still? We'll go through the schedule when we get back. Or are you resigned to the fact that we're going to be in a one-gamer? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Again, we are all over L.A. to you like we are every single day here. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And Rams head coach Sean McVay is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Make sure you're here for that. We're talking some Dodgers here. And Dodgers, we mentioned the rotation. Here's the way we go down the stretch. We have been 2.5 games back for at least 2 weeks now, it feels like. It feels like. Ever since we lost two out of three to them. So listen to the schedules and tell me if we can catch them. We go 3 at Cincinnati after tonight. We go 3 at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is in the wild card race. Then 3 at Colorado, 3 at Arizona. They're both dreck. Then we get San Diego at home. Awful. And then Milwaukee home for 3 last weekend of the year. We draw Milwaukee as the last team on our schedule, and they are fantastic.
Do they have anything to play for, though?
That's the good question. Do they have anything to play for is the good question. Because otherwise, you know, if they do, we're going to see guys like Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, and their bullpen is really good, and Christian Yelich, and they've got a high-powered offense, all that stuff. I'm actually just looking at this right now. They are in first place by 13 games. You know what? They've got absolutely nothing to play for.
Is there any chance they could catch pass the Dodgers for the second best record?
They're at 89 and we're at 93. So conceivably they could. But I don't know that you necessarily put your foot on the pedal for that. Right? I mean, if this goes the way I think it's going to go, and I threw that question out there, are you resigned to the fact that we will be in a one gamer? Here's the Giants schedule. Giants, Atlanta home for 3. That is a huge series.
Yep.
So this weekend, the Braves, we need them to play really well. Then at San Diego, they've fallen apart. At Colorado, they never had it together. Then home to the Diamondbacks. They are dreck, as we're seeing right now. And then San Diego again, 3 at home. Do you think the schedules are a wash, or do you think the Giants have a slightly easier schedule?
I think it's slightly easier just because I don't have any belief in San Diego at this point. They're terrible.
They
Padres
really are.
Stink.
They just fell apart.
Totally. The wheels just totally came off, and I don't understand it. They're still a really good team. They still have Machado still out there, and Tatis is still out there. Like they have their big guns out there.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Blake really Snell. That's part of it.
Yeah, he's but that just right happened. Now. That just happened. That was his last start against the Dodgers. So they were falling apart well before. Blake Snell was actually really the one good pitcher they had the last month.
I never like thought I would find myself rooting for the Padres, but they've got six games against the Giants coming up. Go Pod Squad. Go Slam Diego, as they like to call themselves. Slam Diego Love. Yeah, I mean, we're going to need – there you go. It's not a great theme song.
Is that not really their theme song?
Yeah. That's kind of Slam Diego Love.
Ugh. Let me tell you something. Put Your Ram Hands Up is way better.
Put Your Ram Hands Up! Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So are you resigned to the fact that we're going to be in this one gamer? And then what's your level of confidence in a one-game playoff? Can you? And I think now, probably after what we've seen the last couple of weeks, including his last start when he took a perfecto into the eighth, I think it's pretty clear that Max Scherzer is going to start the one gamer, right?
It seems like it. I mean, Bueller's been arguably the best pitcher. Urias has the most wins, but I think Scherzer is the one you trust the most.
Yeah, been there. He probably is. He's the favorite in Vegas now to win the Cy Young Award. He probably is the guy. Corbin Burns, I think, is second, and Walker Bueller is third. There was a point there where it looked like Walker Bueller was going to win the Cy Young. It all blew up in that one start he had last weekend where he gave up, I think, six runs, and everybody sort of got off the Walker train. I still think he is an exceptional starting pitcher and is an unbelievable guy to start game one of a postseason series. What's weird about it is, if we were to punch our ticket in the one-gamer, you know who the first opponent would be?
The Giants.
The Giants. We would get them right off the bat. I don't think, if you're 100 years old, let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Giants and Dodgers have ever met in a playoff series.
I think you're probably right about that, because the wild card is relatively new, so that's the only way they would have met. The only time I can think of Giants and Dodgers in a playoff series, isn't that the famous, what's the Bobby Thompson home run?
Back in Brooklyn. That's Giants win the pennant, Giants win the pennant, Giants win the pennant. I think that was like game 163, or at that point game 157.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
So looking it up on Wikipedia, because that's the best place to get information.
Of course it is. That's where all the information is.
It says up to the 2020 season, so this wasn't updated yet. The Giants and Dodgers have never faced each other in the postseason.
There you go.
Wow.
So that's what we're potentially looking forward to. But how do you feel? Do you think it's over? Do you feel like, all right, let's get ready for a one-gamer, Momo?
I kind of got there yesterday. Like, I think the Giants had their collapse and the Dodgers caught them. And then that three-game series, that was, you know, you and I were hosting that week. Like, that was the series.
Yep.
And they just didn't get it done. Like, they lost 2 of 3.
Lost 2 out of 3. Yeah.
That was it.
What about you, Bergman? Are you at the point where it's like, yeah, we're probably in that one gamer?
I just can't let myself be there. I kind of feel like that's what it's going to end up at, but I still believe that with 16 games left, they can still pass them. It's tough.
They've got to hit a skid, right?
I mean,
they've got to have a little skid. I mean, you'd hope so. This weekend is a gigantic series for them. Braves, that would be a spot. The Braves only lead the National League East by 4.5 games over Philly. So they are, you know, they're still alive. They're still in play. Philly's playing decent. No, Philly's playing terribly. I just noticed it. They're playing terribly. But, I mean, the Giants have now won 9 in a row, and we're winning. We're doing our part. I mean, every night, you know, I look at Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser on the Spectrum Sportsnet LA or whatever we call that. And, you know, everything's going well, we're up, we're winning, we're in good shape, and all of a sudden they put that Giants score up, and I'm like, damn, again, we got to win just to stay even.
Yep.
It's not even so small victories either. They're not even close.
Yeah,
it's like 6-1, 7-1, 9-1. It's not, they're not close at all.
Yeah, they're just blowouts. They're just blowouts. Well, we got to hope for the Braves this weekend. They've got two more against the Padres. Do the Padres have one win in them? Do they have one win in them? Because I think they're going to be relegated to AAA if they're not careful.
Take Arizona with them. Or is
that
double A?
Take Arizona and Colorado with them. The division is so top-heavy. Colorado, Arizona. Now, the Padres have had a reasonably good year, and they're still only two games out of the wild card. So we can't say they're a total tank job, but they've really fallen apart. There was a point where they looked like for sure they were going to be the wild card team. And frankly, I'd rather they drift out of it because I feel like that's still a sneaky opponent in a one-gamer. I would have more confidence against, let's see, who would it be? Adam Wainwright and St. Louis. They're the leaders in the wild card race right now. Or Wade Miley?
Yeah, Wade Miley.
Wade Miley and the Reds.
And Sonny Gray, they have two.
And Sonny Gray, yeah, those guys. Wade Miley's had a really good year. St. Louis or Cincinnati, I feel better about than playing the Padres, despite the fact that the Padres have been so bad. We get Cincinnati this weekend, by the way, and they are going to be out to win. Because they're right in that playoff chase.
Yeah, so, and Cincinnati can hit. They've got some dangerous hitters. Whereas I think the Dodgers have faced the Padres enough. Not that I don't know if you can ever get Tatis out regularly, but the rest of their hitters, I think the Dodgers have faced them enough that they have a pretty good book on them, like Machado and Trent Grisham and all those guys. I think they feel confident enough about with the Padres. The Reds and the Brewers can hit.
Yeah, Reds and Brewers can absolutely hit. Padres can hit. I just don't know
Cardinals
that they can.
Cardinals can, too. I just lost two of three.
They just lost two out of three. Yeah, you're right. Well, I want to throw that out there. Are you resigned to the fact that we're going to be in a one-gamer, or can we actually catch them still? Schedule-wise, we finish with Milwaukee, which I'm not happy about. They've got six games against the Padres, actually seven, eight, including tonight and tomorrow. Do we have any faith that the Padres can knock them down a peg or two? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. And joining us right now, coming up next is the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. I should say my Los Angeles Rams. Our Los Angeles Rams. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. That's the new Rams anthem that we came up with. Put your Rams hands up. My Rams hands up are right now, because joining us is the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Coach Sean McVay. Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Everything is great. I got to tell you, I was at that game on Sunday night. It was, I said this to these guys right Monday morning. One of the great experiences, and I've been in this town for 35 years, one of my great L.A. sports experiences, period. It was just a perfect night, Coach.
No, it was fun, man. The guys did a great job. You know, they made it come to life. The fans, it was an amazing atmosphere and environment. Want to create a lot more like that and enjoy it. And now on to the Colts, which is a great challenge for us.
So Darrell Henderson had a good night, ran for 70 yards. In your mind, and Sony Michel came on a little bit in the fourth quarter, how solidly is Darrell Henderson RB1 for you?
Oh, yeah, he's our guy. He's the guy that we're counting on. You know, Sony's going to play an important role at some point, as will Jake Funk. But Darrell's definitely, the lead dog guy, and he's done a great job. I think Thomas Brown has really helped him continue to grow, but I thought Darrell's toughness, I thought his ability to set his blocks and be able to put his pads down was definitely illustrated. I loved his goal line run, and I loved the way that he created after the catch on the check down in the tight red area I just got to call better plays so we can punch that in after that.
Hey, Coach, I read the story that Matt Stafford did with Seth Wickersham, the big cover story, right? And you guys really seem to have this bond where it seems like you're in sync. Like, you guys understand each other, and I'm wondering what it was like for you just out on the field together. Where does he know what you're thinking? Do you know what he's thinking? Do you have to even say anything? Is it wordless at this point?
Yeah, it was fun, Ramona. You know, I just thought his play energy, you know, because that was the first time that we had gone where he's competing. You know, we had done practices and stuff like that. But I just thought he's one of those guys that he just elevated everybody around him. He was so steady, but he was also enjoying it. You know, he had a good – I thought Jalen said it best in his post-game interview. You know, he had great swag and good confidence. He led the way. And, you know, we're going to continue to get more and more comfortable with one another. But I definitely think we have a good rapport. But most importantly, he's got a great rapport with his teammates.
You know, I was talking to somebody that watched the game, and they said, you know, it really looks like the Rams have a pass-first offense. What do you think of that?
I think it depends on which game. I think you could say that the other night. But, you know, to me, the best offenses have the ability to do either or. And, you know, we're going to do what we think is best to try to move the ball and score points. And sometimes it might be throwing it. Sometimes it might be running it. Sometimes it might be truly staying balanced. But that's our job. And the other night, you know, we were – a little bit more heavy pass early on, but I did think our guys did a great job as we were kind of trying to run the clock out to be able to control it through running the football and be able to milk a lot of time off as we were trying to, you know, get the win.
You know, the offensive line performed really well. Pro Football Focus has it as one of the top five offensive line performances of week one. And Andrew Whitworth is amazing, but you've got some young guys on that offensive line. What did you think of the offensive line's performance?
I thought they did a great job. I was really pleased with their toughness. I thought they competed well in both phases. I thought they got great removal in the run game. I thought they did a great job in protection, being able to switch off some of the stunts and hold up against, you know, excellent players up front. You know, you look at Khalil Mack, you look at Robert Quinn, you look at Akeem Hicks. Bilal Nichols is an underrated player. They brought Roquan Smith a couple times. They brought Alec Ogletree. And so our guys handled it really well. I was very pleased with them. And, you know, I thought Brian Allen did an excellent job at the center position and want to see us continue to do that moving forward as we face a really tough defense in the Indianapolis Colts this week.
So coming out of that game, do you have one area of like, what's your biggest area of concern?
You know, as a coach, I think you always want to just strive for steady improvement. I feel good about this team, but I think offensively we need to start out better on third downs. We were 0-for-4 in the you know, the early parts of that game on third downs. We have to be better there, and I think we can do a little bit. You know, I think we can do a couple things better in terms of defending the run, and then we lost contain on our first kickoff coverage. So those are things that stand out in each phase that we can do better at. We've got the right kind of guys and coaches to be able to fix those things, and we'll be intentional about that this week.
How much more progression can you do with the offense out with Stafford and that vertical threat that he has, that he gives you now? Does it open things up for you more in a way that you haven't been able to do in the past?
I don't necessarily, you know, want to say that, but I think, you know, Matthew gives you elements that, you know, he's a special player and he's got a lot of experience, a lot of great things to draw on. And so I think it's a week by week thing, but you want to continue to evolve and make sure that we're always, you know, steadily improving throughout the course of the season as we're guaranteed 17 of these. And so he's a special player. He did a great job the other night, and we'll see if we can improve on that this week.
How about this division, man? 4-0, the division came out Oof. On fire. How do you handicap what's going on? I mean, everybody looks really good right now.
Yeah, I think you don't want to get caught up watching too many other scores. You just want to be present. You want to make sure you handle your business. Those are great teams that you're talking about. We know that. I'm not surprised that they came away with the wins, but every single week there's a new narrative written, and we got to make sure that we do a good job of handling our business in chapter 2 of this book.
Jonathan Taylor is kind of their all-purpose offensive guy. Led him in rushing this past week, led him in receiving this past week. How do you deal with a guy like that?
He's a stud. He's a great football player. You know, he's a complete football player. They also do a great job of getting Nyheim Hines involved. They've got two really good backs. Yeah. They've got a great offensive line, a good scheme. So it's a great challenge. There's a reason why they've done so well since Frank Reich's been the head coach. They're really competitive defensively and on teams. And so this is a great challenge. And we know that we've got to bring our best to try to come away with the result that we're looking for.
We're just about to kick around a question. I want to bounce it off you, Coach. The question is, we asked you something stupid last week. This is just something interesting. What was your first car, and do you have any emotional attachment to it?
Oh, man. Well, my first car was a hand-me-down from my dad. It was an LS 400. It was a Lexus, but it had about 220,000 miles on it.
Nice.
And there was zero attachment to that car.
None whatsoever.
No. The only thing I remember is it had so many miles on it, the seat was tilted back, so I always had a backache because I was like slightly slanted. I have to lean up to drive it, but my dad was nice enough to help me upgrade when I couldn't afford anything else when I went to college, and I got a Mitsubishi Montero.
Nice. And now you're driving in style, I'm guessing.
You're damn right I am.
Awesome, man. Hey, Coach, go get him on Sunday.
Wait, what? Nate, you got to ask him about the anthem. Play the song.
Hang on a second, Coach. One of our listeners came up with an anthem.
See if you like it.
Hit it, Jorge. What do you think, Coach? Put your Rams hands up.
Are you waving your hands?
Hey, put them up. I'm waving my hands. I'm hopeful that we can make that stuff come to life. I love it.
All right. Awesome, man. Hey, Coach, thanks for coming on as always, man. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. There's Coach Sean McVay. Yeah, the anthem is good. I like
put
the
Ram
anthem.
Put your Ram hands up. I want
put
to
your
see
Ram
doing
hands
it.
Up. Exactly. They're up.
McVay's like, please don't make me do this. Don't make me listen to this.
So I kind of wait a minute. Is Michael Thompson here?
He was great. Oh,
MT, what are you doing, man?
I almost fell asleep from that hard hitting interview.
Hey, what can you say? They blew him out, Michael.
They were great.
How about I want to hear some coach? I'm tired of this coach speak. When you asked him about Jonathan Taylor, I wanted him to say, yeah, we're going to go up there. We're going to shut him down. Hold him to 50 yards rushing.
I tried to get him to diss Jared Goff a little bit.
Yeah.
I did say
tried.
That. Yeah. I did. He was like, I don't really want to go there. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Michael, when you win by 20, what can you really say?
Yeah.
But see, that's the problem. I would never interview a coach because you know they're just going to give you the cookie-cutter answers, right?
No. He told us about his first car at the end.
Oh, that was cool.
A reaction to the new Rams anthem.
Yeah.
Hands up.
That's a great – are they going to play that at the game? They better.
I like it.
They should.
That's a sweet song.
You know, the guy that did that, Michael, believe it or not, is down in San Diego, and he's a special ed teacher, and he does music on the side. Is actually really cool.
That's great.
If he's
that's
in San great. Diego, shouldn't he be doing the Charger anthem?
No. Yeah.
No?
They gave up on the Chargers down there, Michael, a long time ago. The moment they left town.
I think the city gave up on them, didn't they? They wouldn't have been able to stadium. Think about it, though. They should have. Okay, you spent $4 billion for a stadium, right?
Yeah.
It's other people's money. I understand what I'm talking about here. But San Diego is such a destination city, Ramona. The Super Bowl would be there. The college football playoffs would be there. You know, you get the money back out of that stadium over
City
time.
City didn't hand out any cash on this one, so they had to go where the money was.
Yeah, too bad. But you know, McVay's
hand any cash here in L.A. either. Stan Kroenke just built it here.
Yeah, just built it.
Exactly.
Just built it.
I mean, they just had the land and the owner put up the money. That's the thing with stadiums in California. The owner has to pay for it. Taxpayers in California aren't going to pay for it.
When McVay's doing an interview, doesn't he sound like he's across the room yelling into a speakerphone?
Sort of.
He does a little bit. Well, our goal is to try to loosen up those interviews every week.
Yeah.
Try to get them a little loose, a little fun. Because, I mean, it's boring to talk about winning, Michael. Winning is all the Rams are going to do
just
this year.
Just send them some flowers after the interview, Mace.
Yeah,
my
sure.
Goodness.
I tried, Michael. I tried. I was like, let me just see if I can say. How much better is it to have a real quarterback now?
Okay. Bergman is yelling to go to break, so we will go to break. Michael Thompson is here. I actually want to hear about everybody's first car when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, look who's hanging out. It's Michael Thompson. Momo's in for John. Bergman's here. Jorge's here. Ireland, by the way, comes back tomorrow. And I think that's it for vacations till after football season. That's it for vacations until after football season.
We'll see.
To play golf in North Carolina with James Worthy. And got onto a bunch of fancy courses, Michael.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know that. The one percenters. He's over there with the one percenters.
Did you hear what happened in my golf match with Ireland last Friday?
I heard, yeah. I was listening to it on the car. I was in the car at the same time you guys were talking about it with Travis and the other guy, Spock or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And he said that you guys ended up doing match play, right, instead of strokes?
Yeah, we ended up doing match play. I won three holes. He won five, and we pushed on one. I felt really solidly mediocre, respectable on that. What do you think?
So you weren't keeping strokes, counting your strokes. You just were doing this hole by hole. What do you think you shot in that tournament, in that 9 holes?
I probably shot 80.
Wow. Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't. So Ireland ended up beating you, or you ended up winning?
Ireland, here's what's weird. It finished exactly 27 strokes different between
us. Wow. Yeah,
which is what we handicapped at exactly 27 strokes. But, yeah. Michael, I will pick up a golf club again. In fact, I'm going to go out and play this weekend, play the par three. I actually had a good time learning golf.
Yeah, so you're going to become a golf addict pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be an addict, but I'm definitely going to go hit some balls.
Yeah.
So MT, we were talking about this with Coach McVay.
Yeah.
Technically, this is the Wheel of Questions. We spun it off the air. Wheel of Questions presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, so Michael, the question: what was your first car, and do you have any emotional attachment to it?
Well, here's the thing, Ramona. Being from the Bahamas and living on an island, I didn't have a first car. I had a first canoe.
What?
That's right. Dug out of the trunk of a coconut tree. And that's how I got from hut to hut on other islands. I was like a black Gilligan. But
you could have been like an Uber, Michael.
That's right. I could have back then.
Uber canoe.
But here's the thing. When I came to America, Prince Hakeem, Jaffer, and Semi, when I came to America, I did get my first car at age 23, Ramona.
Wow.
I was very old. And when I got drafted by the Blazers, can you guys guess what kind of car?
Camaro.
Close. That was my second car. What do you think I got, Greg?
Mustang.
Nope. What do you think I got, Greg?
You got a Rolls Royce.
No, I wasn't going to go that much.
You had all that money from the University of Minnesota.
Well, I had to spend that in the Bahamas.
How about a big truck? Did you get a big truck?
I always wanted one of those. I want one of you. I definitely want one of those big old F-50, 350s or whatever.
Yeah.
But I got myself get this. I don't know why I chose this color. It's kind of gross when you think about it. A brown Cadillac Seville with tan interior. That was my first car mix.
Like a chocolate brown kind of
thing,
right?
Chocolate brown Cadillac Seville. I think it cost me $22,000 or $23,000 back in 1978, George. That's how long ago this was. No, that was a lot back then.
Back then.
You're right.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money for a car. And so I got that. And you're right. I wish I would have kept it. I wish I would have kept it forever. Michael Cooper.
We need to keep it, yeah.
Michael Cooper kept his first car, which was a Volkswagen Beetle, long into his Laker career.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's funny.
That was cool. We kept fixing it up to keep it running.
Hey, Momo, how about you? First car, and do you have any emotional attachment to it?
Yeah, I kind of do. So I basically just got my mom's old Honda Accord.
Yep.
She just, it took me a long time to get it. So my first 2 years when I was in college, she was still driving her car. And I when I was at home, I would just kind of drive one of my parents' cars or something when I had my license. But when I went to college, I didn't have a car. So I rode my bike everywhere. So I don't know which really counts everything. But I had one of those little cruiser bikes, with the high front part there.
Yeah,
and
right.
I put a bath. Yeah. I was like a star cruiser on my bike all around Stanford for my first 2 years.
That's all you do on campus.
Yeah. Because everybody rides their bike everywhere. And if you have to go off campus, either get a ride from somebody, one of the upperclassmen on my team would give us, take us someplace or whatever. We didn't have Uber back then. But I had a big basket on the front of my bike.
Yeah.
And this is important.
Did you have a little bell?
I had a bell too, but I didn't ring that too much. But I had a big basket because my freshman year, and it continued my entire career, I was the girl who had to bring the laundry in. That was like the freshman job. So we would be out at the field, and our locker room was quite a ways away, like at least a 10-minute walk. But I had a bike and I had a basket. So they used to give like the dirty practice clothes and the dirty uniforms. People would like take them off and they'd give it to the freshmen. That was like your job. Mm. And you had to carry everybody's dirty laundry.
Wow.
Gross, right?
Exactly.
So I had to put it in my basket and I was like riding around with all this dirty stuff and it would fall and I'd like pick it up. And it was like, oh, gross, right? Yeah. Sweaty, gross. So that was, I guess it's because I was the laundry girl. But then since I had that my whole 4 years, because you just drove your bike around campus, I was like the nice upperclassman, and each year when the freshman would do the laundry, I would help him out.
Yeah, I didn't want
a car.
I was
like, don't worry, I got a basket.
I didn't want a car at University of Minnesota. Flip Saunders had a car.
Yeah.
And one day we were riding in it over by St. Paul, and everybody's waving at us. We thought, hey, look at these people. They recognize us.
Yeah.
We're the Minnesota Gophers, right? People waving at us on the street as we're going down the street. And we thought because they recognized us and they liked us, they were waving at us to let us know the car was on fire.
Oh, wow.
We didn't know. We had to jump out of the car. Me, Flip Saunders, and Kevin McHale. We had to jump out of the car, leave it in the middle of the street smoldering. And the fire department had to come and put it out.
Dang.
It was some old beat-up car Flip Saunders had.
Hey,
Bergman. So my mom's car.
Bergman, first car, emotional attachment to it or no?
So, yeah, I actually started off with a nice car and then went progressively worse as I've gotten older. But I had an Acura CL, which is a really nice car. And
yeah,
I do have some emotional attachment to it because I became a man in it. Is that the best way to put it?
That's your first kiss.
That's my first kiss. Sure, yeah, let's say that way. That's the way, Michael. First kiss.
Do you remember her name?
I don't think you should say that on the
you
air.
Don't, wait a minute. You don't remember her name?
A first name? You can remember a first
name?
Well, hold
on.
When you became a man,
no,
you
I have to
can't
go
remember
you definitely
the name?
Remember it.
Did you throw up? You must have been drunk.
No, I did not throw up. No.
How do you not remember her name?
I remember the important ones.
Oh, okay.
But the first time was not an important one?
Yeah, you user.
I mean, user.
What a lousy guy you were in high school.
You definitely remember her name. Even if you don't.
Yeah, oh, no. Okay, I do. Yeah. I do remember. I do remember it now. Yeah. Her first name was Jen.
Jen.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
What's she doing now, you think?
I can give her your last name, but that would be weird. Yeah. I shouldn't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Let's not do that.
All right. Jorge,
what about you?
First car.
1996 Honda Accord. Gunmetal color. It was
cool.
It was used. 126,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
No attachment to it whatsoever. But like Michael, like I had a girlfriend at the time, and I'm at a red light. There's a bus stop, and this girl's waving. My girlfriend looks at me. He's like, do you know this girl? And I was like, no. And how come we're not turning over or anything? I said, I don't know her. Why am I going to turn over? The car's overheating. Smoke's coming out through the front. And she's like, I rolled out the window. The girl's like, your car's smoking. And I was like, oh, I don't know her either. So she was telling me the car's smoking. But it was a used car. It would overheat, and it was a 96 Honda Accord.
Yeah. Okay, and mine was, in 1982, I bought a 1976 Chevy Monza, which I'm pretty sure they don't make anymore. Haven't made in a long time.
Yeah.
But the Z had chipped off of the nameplate there for the car. And so we called that car Mona.
Hey.
Interestingly enough, my very first car was called Mona. And I also became a man in my first car. That Monza was
the that's a cool car. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, no, it was a nice little car.
That's
it
cool.
Had a lot of miles on it.
Yeah.
It was late. It wasn't even late model. It was old
only
model.
Made from 75 through 1980.
There, and I was driving a 76.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Coming up next for you, Michael. First of all, I've got an item for your shopping list that you will absolutely love.
And Mona, I came up. You see where the NBA is going to reverse some of these last-minute calls? Review
yeah,
calls?
Let's get to that.
Yeah.
I've come up with five other changes they need to make, Ramona.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. That's coming up for you next. Michael Thompson, Momo, Jorge, Bergman, everybody's here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.